ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे वी विल गो टू द टेक्स्ट नंबर 16। अनपेक्ष शुचिर्दक्ष उदासीनो गतव्यतः सर्वारंभ परित्यागी यो मद्भक्तः समे प्रियः। My devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. So I'd like to read the brief purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Money may be offered to a devotee, but he should not struggle to acquire it. If automatically by the grace of the Supreme money comes to him, he is not agitated. Naturally, a devotee takes a bath at least twice in a day and rises early in the morning for devotional service. Thus, he is naturally clean both inwardly and outwardly. A devotee is always expert because he fully knows the essence of all activities of life, and he is convinced of the authoritative scriptures. A devotee never takes the part of a particular party. Therefore, he is carefree. He is never pained because he is free from all designations. He knows that his body is a designation. So if there are some bodily pains, he is free. The pure devotee does not endeavor for anything which is against the principles of devotional service. For example, constructing a big building requires great energy, and a devotee does not take to such business if it does not benefit him by advancing his devotional service. He may construct a temple for the Lord, and for that he may take all kinds of anxiety, but he does not construct a big house for his personal relations. So here Krishna talks of further other qualities of the devotee. Like he says, anapeksha. So we'll try to discuss some of these qualities today. Anapeksha is actually, Prabhupada explains the first 2-3 lines there. A devotee has no expectation or no craving. Like he says here, money may be offered to a devotee, but he should not struggle to acquire it. If automatically by the grace of the Supreme money comes to him, he is not agitated. Like we find Rup Goswami, Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan, they lived very simple life. Every day they would live under different trees. And when some wealthy merchant came and volunteered to build a very beautiful temple for Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, they didn't say no. They happily agreed. And for the deities, they prepared very attractive garments and garlands and jewelry and everything. And for themselves, they were living in a small cottage, mostly under trees. They were living in a very small place. So, as far as the devotee is concerned, comfort for Krishna and austerity for myself. This is the platform of a devotee. All luxuries and comforts are for Krishna. When it comes to oneself, a devotee performs austerities for the pleasure of Krishna. So he is not eager for increasing his own luxuries and comforts. Or He does not work hard to accumulate more and more wealth for one's own enjoyments. It is a very tricky thing, because sometimes one may think that I am trying to earn more money so that I can later on completely depend on Krishna. Like one devotee, I was telling you some classes ago, one devotee was living far away from the temple. For him to take a house near the temple would mean, you know, you need a lot of money for purchasing a house in a city. So naturally he has to earn a lot. So he thought of earning a lot of money and then getting a house close to temple, so that later on he can live close to devotees. That was the goal. But when he went to work very hard, he got lost. Sometimes it happens. So we have to check how pure are the desires. Sometimes we may say it as a lip service, that I am doing it for Krishna. Actually, I am doing this, or I am doing that, or I am going abroad to earn money and come back so that I can get a house. Hare Krishna, please kindly don't sit on the wire. Hare Krishna, So we may be thinking I am trying to do for Krishna, but Krishna knows our intentions better than ourselves, better than we know ourselves. Sometimes externally we may say to others, sometimes we like to do something, and then we know the devotees may not be so happy. So in order to please the devotees, what do we say? I am actually doing this for Krishna's pleasure, although we know why we are doing that. So this we call as dovetailing. Dovetailing means dovetailing our tendency. Somebody has the tendency to work very hard and earn. Okay, they may work very hard, earn a lot, and they may, you know, as Prabhupada says, they may make a big bungalow and everything. So they may think that I will work hard and use all the money in Krishna's service. But many times it doesn't happen. But then one earns a lot of money, one becomes too greedy. And just one goes on earning more and more endlessly. It happens with some people. So many people even say, when they see renunciates, giving up everything, especially money, many people even ask, why do you have to give up everything? Especially, why do you have to give up all the wealth? Where does God say that you have to give up the wealth? You have to just connect everything to God and be happy. Actually, God does tell us in the scriptures that one has to give up wealth. Otherwise, he would not say sarvadharman parityajya. We will see why Krishna says that. You can easily see, like Jesus said once, that it is more easy to put a camel into the hole of a needle than to send a man who is attached to wealth into the kingdom of God. He said that, Because if a man is very attached to wealth, it's very difficult to send him into the kingdom of God, he said. It's more easy to put a camel into a needle hole. The reason is very simple. When we have wealth, what happens? We put faith in our power of our bank balance. We also depend on our relatives, on our friends, on our family members, on the military power of our country. We depend on all these things for protection, undoubtedly. And we also love material assets that come from wealth, like the comforts. Although many times we may curse, we may say that, you know, Vedic life versus modern life. You may make comparison. For the lecture's sake, you may glorify Vedic life. But practically speaking, we love comforts that come from material wealth. So if we are depending on country or relatives or friends, and if we are putting faith in our bank balance, and if we are loving material assets, what happens as a result of that? The result is that we are unable to wholeheartedly take shelter of Krishna's holy name. We cannot take shelter of Krishna properly because we feel very materially satisfied. We feel everything is all right, no problem. I have arranged for my security, everything is all right. Everything is going well, everything is smooth sailing. We feel very comfortable. And we cannot actually call out Krishna's name fervently. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports to Kunti's prayers in that verse, Yedamana Madhapuman, isn't it? Janma Ishwarya Shuta Srivir, Yedamana Madhapuman. That Prabhupada says that a person who has abundant wealth, he becomes intoxicated by that wealth. Because of which he says, a man who does not have so much can fervently call the Lord, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda, Hey Gopala, he can call. But if a person has attachment to wealth, then he feels very materially satisfied and is unable to feel dependence on the Lord. Because he is attached to material comforts. He depends on his relatives, friends and his bank balance and all that. So, taking shelter of Krishna is a very important aspect in our life. And we can see that attraction for material comforts and opulences, it actually weakens our dependence on Krishna. You can easily see that. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya apahrita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhir samadhav na vidiyate. Actually, samadhi is total absorption. To absorb oneself completely in thoughts of Krishna, remembrance of Krishna, will require a particular mindset and a particular situation. Now, can anyone tell here which are the times when you felt your heart becoming soft and yourself feeling utmost dependence on Krishna? Which occasion you felt like that? Yeah, when you got a big money. When you are in trouble, correct? Very true, isn't it? When you are in trouble, when you are in trouble, you remember the Lord the most. That is the time the thought comes very strongly in our mind. When you are in trouble, that is the reason Kunti was telling Krishna also, my dear Krishna, you have finished all our problems now. You have put Yudhishthira on the throne, and now you are sitting on your chariot, ready to go back. So she said, what is the use of all this kingdom and all this wealth without you? It is simply useless. So she said, it seems to me that it is better that we have more troubles so that we have you with us. Than you remove all the calamities and you go away. That's why Kunti welcomed the calamities, although we are not in that position of welcoming calamities. So when we are in trouble, we think of the Lord. At the same time, you see, when there is abundant wealth, we become weak-hearted. To use that wealth and increasing our luxuries and comforts and facilities in life, and we become forgetful of Krishna. That is actually nature of material world. That's very, very natural in the material world. So that is the reason why Krishna says there, Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktana. So the wealth itself is not condemned, but the attachment to wealth is condemned. But now one may say, okay, if attachment to wealth is condemned, I will accumulate wealth but not become attached. That's a great challenge. It's like saying, I will catch fish without getting wet. That not everyone can do. Not everyone can catch fish without getting wet. Very few can do. That requires a lot of spiritual maturity and advancement in Krishna consciousness. So that is why he says here that a devotee should realize this fact, that according to our destiny, every one of us is put in a particular family. If we carefully analyze our own lives, we will see that certain things we choose and certain things we can't choose. For example, you may choose a model of a car, or you may choose a type of house, one may choose a spouse. You can choose these things in your life, you try to choose and settle them. But you can't choose your parents to whom you are born. Isn't it? Do we choose our parents? Parents are already chosen. You can't choose to have a beautiful body. Body is already awarded. Somebody has ugly body, somebody has a beautiful body. And you can't choose that. So, according to karma, already everyone is born. So, Prabhupada used to give example that somebody is born in Tata's family. He's born with a silver spoon. Another person is born in a, say, worker's family. He's working in a lathe or whatever. So, every one of us is born in a certain situation. And one should learn to appreciate the fact that in whatever situation I am put, in that situation, I will run my life and I will try to become Krishna conscious. I will not unnecessarily try to convert you attached a cottage into a skyscraper building. This is called as economic development. Economic development means try to convert a thatched cottage into skyscraper building. And many people try to do that in the modern times. Now you study chemical engineering, you study geophysics, everyone wants to go to software job, and you know why. Everyone knows why. There are some principled professors who scold their students. You are such a fool. I gave so much time teaching you this subject and now you are going to software. Everyone is falling on software jobs. You can see that. Because generally, it's very difficult to tell people that don't be attracted to money. Because then you'll become unpopular if you do that. So people are naturally attracted to money. People are mad after money. It's like a moth attracted to fire. We will see that, you can hear me? Like moth attracted to fire, people are attracted to material desires, which arise actually from accumulation of more and more wealth. Because we are not very strong in controlling our mind and senses. Naturally, when wealth is given to us, we will misuse it. That's our problem. When one is completely sense-controlled and one's mind is engaged in the lotus feet of the Lord, then wealth will not harm a person. Just like Ambarish Maharaj or Yudhishthir Maharaj. For Yudhishthir Maharaj, it hardly made any difference whether he was in the forest or he was in the throne as king of the world. For pure devotees, it makes no problem. But for others, the wealth can infatuate us. It brings, there are about 14 or 15 problems given in Bhagavatam. What does the wealth do? It brings false pride, it brings fear, it brings anxiety, it brings danger, it can claim one's life and so many things like that. Mentioned in Bhagavatam. So, a devotee knows that God has put me in a particular position and remaining in that position, I will certainly do my duty. We don't say one shouldn't do one's duty. One can certainly do one's duty, earn some livelihood, and one should focus on Krishna consciousness. Because Prabhupada used to challenge this point. If you are trying to convert a thatched cottage into skyscraper building, for that you have to work very hard. And that's why modern man is working so hard. If you see the modern man's life now, 16 hours a day, 14 hours a day, man is working. Compare this with the Vedic times, where people would work, 4 months in a year, 8 hours a day maximum. Now man is working 365 days a year. Nowadays there are no holidays in many companies. And man is ready to work 14 hours, 16 hours a day like that. Because the reason is very simple. In the name of economic development, people have set very high ambitions and goals in life to accumulate wealth. How much of that earned wealth I am going to use for my living, that people don't see. People are more interested in status and prestige. To show the world that I am also kuch karke dikhana hai. I want to show the world. I also want to show the world that I can have this, I can have that. I will increase my possessions and show to the world that I have the power of money. And by the time you achieve that state, you have that power of bank balance and you have a lot of money and possessions. Owing to our weakness, we are unable to take shelter of Krishna. Because these things keep haunting us. What happens when you get more wealth? Plants also come along with that, right? We have this experience of this. When more wealth comes, immediately people worry, what to do with this money? Isn't it? What to do next with this money? So, should we go on a world tour? Or should we, should we spend it here? Should we spend it there? No. And immediately there are millions of material plans. Like, you make a small house into a big house, as Prabhupada says here. And you have a big house, empty house, and you don't know what to do. Oh, house is all empty, let's buy some furniture. Let's buy this, let's buy that, and then maintenance of that after that. And it's an ever-expanding story, in this material world. So there is no end to it. So a devotee has to keep one's life very simple, understanding that life is temporary. And all that philosophy doesn't enter the ears when one becomes too wealthy. When one becomes very rich, then all this philosophy that Dukkale, Mashashvatam, all those things don't enter the ears. You think it is all right, it's my duty to hear all this in the classroom. After you go back, it doesn't sink in. It's like, trying to, like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives an example, take a needle and try to penetrate a MS plate. Can you do anything? Mild steel plate. Take a mild steel plate and try to poke a hole in that with a needle. You can't do anything. So in this way, it doesn't sink in the heart. The knowledge doesn't sink in. The nature of infatuation is like that. Just like the honey bee, when it is hovering over the lotus flower, and then it sits and starts sucking honey. Sometimes the honey bee sucks the honey and becomes so intoxicated that if you try to pull it out, legs will come, wings will come, but the head will be stuck in the flower itself. You will see that. Or if you don't take it out, if you leave it, it becomes so intoxicated that when the lotus closes, then the honeybee cannot come out. He is so intoxicated, he cannot even poke a hole in the soft lotus petal. He can't even poke a hole. The same bee which can poke a hole in wood, now cannot poke a hole even in lotus petal. He becomes so weak. What is the reason? Because of intoxication or infatuation. That is why devotee, whether a devotee is a brahmachari or a grihastha, one should look into one's heart. The attachment and attraction for wealth should be given up. Of course, wealth is required. Rupa Goswami says you should keep some money for emergency. You should keep some, there should be some money for regular usage. And there should be some money set aside for Krishna conscious expenditure and all that. But at the same time, one should see whether this money accumulation of wealth is becoming an impediment in my Krishna consciousness. Anything that is not anukul should be rejected. If it is pratikul to my bhakti, it's not favorable to my bhakti, then one should give up that. In our society, like in our ISKCON society, when Srila Prabhupada went to the West with very little money, by his sincere preaching, a lot of wealth came to the West. Sometimes they got churches or cathedrals free of cost. Those cathedrals were filled with pigeons passing stool. And nobody would come. Nowadays in America, many of the churches and cathedrals, people don't come even on Sunday, because nowadays they have telephonic confessions. People are too lazy to come even to churches. So Prabhupada said, when Prabhupada went there, Americans were very surprised how this Swamiji is able to attract such a big crowd of young boys and girls. It was a big surprise to American fathers, brethren and fathers would meet Prabhupada and ask him, Swamiji, how are you able to attract? And Prabhupada said, I am giving pure philosophy of Bhagavata Dharma, love of Godhead. And you people are making churches and you are trying to simply make money from the people, and you are minimizing the religious principles. And by such bogus practice of religion, you will not be able to cure the disease of the heart of the people. So many fathers started following Prabhupada when Prabhupada went. So some of the churches they handed over to Prabhupada. You take it. Some of the churches and cathedrals were handed over to Prabhupada and they were converted them into ISKCON temples. In this way, ISKCON flourished in the West, and Prabhupada returned to India. In India also, many wealthy merchants voluntarily came forward to extend themselves, to give money. In fact, in India, many people have understanding, especially wealthy people, those who do business and who earn a lot of money, they know that we are not earning money by pure means. Many times, we may adopt some fair or foul means to get money. We may have to tell lies. In different kind of jobs, different kind of problems come. So the business people, Prabhupada writes in one of his purports in India, they always make some dharmashalas, or they make some temples, they make some charity they give like this in order to save themselves from the way they accumulated the wealth. He says that. In fact, anybody who is wealthy, when they give off their wealth to Krishna, it should not be seen as something taken away from us. Rather, it should be given off as if a burden is reduced from your life. Big burden. So people consider the wealth to be a burden. Because if this wealth was with me, I would have misused it. I would have used it for bhoga and aishwarya. Now, by giving it to God, God has saved me. Some or other, some people, even before giving wealth, they used to tell me, Prabhuji, I want to give this wealth. Please come and take it as soon as possible. I used to ask, why? And if I keep it for one more day, I may not give it to God. I become attached to it. Better you take it. Right now, I am feeling, I am getting great feelings of giving charity. I don't know, because of coming in a good family, some good sanskar, now I feel like giving, so come and take it, they used to say like that. So it is like relieving a burden. And by giving it to God, for God, any amount of wealth is not enough. Because Lakshmi, Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sevyamana. Hundreds and thousands of Lakshmi serve him. So the whole wealth of the whole world can be used in his service. There is no end to serve him. So it can be, it can be used in that manner. In this way, when Prabhupada went, many cathedrals were given. Even in India also, many people came forward to give wealth to Prabhupada, to make temples. Many, many temples were made and everything. But then Prabhupada, when he left the planet, he made a team of devotees to take care of his con and everything. And for getting charity for our society, he made the life membership scheme in his times. Because Indians were more fond of being members of some society. You know. So Prabhupada made this life membership scheme, life patron scheme as we call it. But over a period of time, when the temples degrade, when they don't preach, then we might become just like the churches which we are condemning now abroad. If the temples do not preach, if the devotees are not preaching, not only just preaching, we can't preach unless we practice it ourselves, first of all. Like we may tell people, preach, preach, but they may be afraid to preach. Why? Because I am myself not getting up in the morning. I am getting up at 8 o'clock and running to office. How can I preach to others? They may fear. So if you are practicing very well, then you will boldly preach to others. And you get that conviction, determination to tell others, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? Why don't you offer bhoga? Why don't you live a Krishna conscious life? You can give to others. So in many places, the temples simply become, like Prabhupada says, in India some temples, you know, you go to the temple, they have Durga, they have Shiva, they have, you know, Ganesh, and they have, you know, Vishnu also, and all kinds of deities. And the deities are kept there, and along with that, the hundi box is kept in the front. So people come there, and it's like doing a nice business with different devatas. Keep them, people put money, and, you know, see them, and bow down to them, and put money, and go. And the pujari there makes a good business from the temple, and he earns his livelihood. This is not religion at all. This is mumbo jumbo religion. Real religion is love of God. Real religion is to teach people how to become free from the attachments to the material world. And how to develop true attachment to Krishna. How to become free from the attachments that actually keep us down, hold us down, like tabernacles. It comes in the 10th canto, one famous verse. Tavat ragadayas tenaha, tavat karagriham graham, tavat mohongri nagado, yavat Krishna na tejanaha. It's a very nice prayer. It says, tavat ragadayas tenaha. Raga means attachments, metal attachments. Those metal attachments are compared to thieves which take away our wisdom. Just like Shankara said, kamaha krodhascha lobhascha tehe tishtanti daskaraha. He called them as plunderers also. Jnana ratna apaharaya tasmat jagrata jagrata, he said. Wake up, wake up, because they will steal away your wisdom. This kama krodha lobha, he said. Similarly, here in Bhagavatam we find, tavad ragadaya stenaha, our attachments to the material things of this world will steal away our Krishna consciousness. Then they are saying, tavad kara griham griham, that house in which Krishna consciousness is not properly practiced, that house becomes like a jail, they are saying. Like, you know, sometimes you go in the street, you find a huge gate in some bungalows. And the board is put, beware of dogs. So sadhu cannot enter and preach to them. Somebody wants to preach also. And they have a big bungalow. And there the family people inside that house, they are locked up there. So that can be compared to karagriham. Because they are not having any Krishna consciousness there. Simply you hear the sounds of television, or sometimes hear the sounds of quarrel. And everything happens within four walls. And there's a big gate, beware of dogs. So in this way, living within the four walls, they live out their entire life and die like cats and dogs with no realization of Krishna consciousness. That's karagriham. Tavat karagriham griham. And then tavat mohongri nigado. Moha is the illusion. Illusions of this world. Nigado means like tabernacle. Like, you know, in the forest they put sometimes what do you call tabernacle, you know? As soon as you keep the feet, it closes. For catching the animals, they keep it. Traps. It's like traps, yeah. So our moha, our illusions are like the traps, the trappers. There are so many moha that come in our life. You put your leg, you are caught immediately. Negado, they're saying. Yavat Krishnana te janaha. Those who are not Krishna janas. Krishna jana means those who are devotees. Those who are not proper devotees, for them these things, the moha. Moha actually means the illusions, which means the attachment we develop for the so-called friendship, society and love. We develop love for our colleagues, material colleagues. We develop love for our relatives. We develop love for the members in our caste and all that. So these are actually illusions, illusory relationships. One develops attachment there. They become like this, traps. So we may be calling ourselves as ISKCON, but in ISKCON, if we don't follow strictly what Prabhupada wanted us to follow, then we will not achieve the end result what Prabhupada has promised us. In Prabhupada's time, if one is a serious grihastha, they are supposed to live in the temple, just like brahmacharis. They also live in the temple full time. They would live and they would be serving. And they actually, there was no salary and all. You know, they get prasadam also, and they get dresses also, and they live in the temple and they would be attending the morning program. Just like, there's no difference. Like missionary. You know missionaries? Missionary means you just live in the temple, and temple gives you food, prasadam, temple gives you clothing, temple gives you facility for your education of your child and everything. And then you go out and preach. That was one of the standards. And those who could not stay in the temple, there was facility, live just opposite the temple, live nearby. And then you come for the morning program, like that. Attend the morning program and do sevas in the temple, and you may have some small business in the side. So, somehow or other, in Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada was like such a magnet, is attracting everyone. So people would dedicate their lives on the spot. There were many people who would come forward to, there are many people who vowed also. They were dedicated their whole life in one of the meetings, that my entire life, every single day, I'll distribute your books, Prabhupada. Like that, they vowed, some people. And they're doing that even today, after Prabhupada left the planet. So, later on, during the time when Prabhupada left the planet, went back to Godhead, so that time it was found that people who live inside the temple, there may be difficulties. The problem would be that the society may not be able to support them financially and everything. So they should be able to support themselves if they are coming. Later on, this congregation preaching developed around the temple, near the temple and everything. But Prabhupada always expected that the grihasthas also rise early in the morning, they do Mangalarati, they do chanting, they read Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada is once telling, you can hear one tape lecture of Prabhupada. He's telling a grihastha means you should rise early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, and offer bhoga to the Lord, and worship the deity, and the husband should give Bhagavatam, a wife should be hearing, the neighbor should come to hear Bhagavatam. After this class, you all are going to discuss about the class, isn't it? Yeah. So, because Prabhupada led such a life when he was a grihastha, he would give class and he would call the neighbors to come. They would hear. And organizing programs. You should have a very dynamic life, a spirited life of practicing Krishna consciousness and preaching Krishna consciousness to others. Then you will be delighted in such a life. Then mind won't be hankering after so and so has so much wealth, what about me? You know, when will I improve in my status? It is said in material life, you should always see people who are below you. Downtrodden people, you should see. Sometime go to the slums and see the people there. How they are living. Sometimes go to such places where there are have-nots, underprivileged people. See them. When you see them, you will be thankful to God always. And when it comes to spiritual life, whom should we see? Should you see your juniors? Yeah, you should always see people who are very elevated, very exalted. See them. My Lord, I have a long way to go. I have to work hard. Then we will work hard in spiritual life. And we will not worry so much about material life. So we will learn contentment automatically. So the contentment is required, satisfaction. If there is contentment, you will be happy with whatever God has sent. If there is no contentment, you cannot be happy with the whole universe, with all its sense objects and all its wealth, we will not be happy if there is no satisfaction. Hankering has no limit. Tushpurena analenacha. As Krishna says, it's like a fire in which you pour petrol or oil, it keeps growing more and more. There's no end. That is why, as I was telling, in our society also, in some places, because people are simply money minded, they may be going here and there to collect money in the name of running temple, but they are just earning livelihood to maintain their bodies. Then Krishna will not send money. It's a difficult thing. Then it's a very bad situation. There is no preaching. Ideal standard is that the brahmacharis and sannyasis should preach the message of Krishna consciousness, and grihasthas should become spirited and enlivened in their Krishna consciousness and happily give the wealth, understanding that we are reducing our burden of the hard-earned wealth. Otherwise, this would poison me. And it is true. Nobody can deny that. The wealth poisons us. We can see that we go for so many luxuries which actually make us weak, like that bumblebee in the lotus. We can easily feel the weakness that comes in spiritual life. The weakness is perceived by difficulty in rising early in the morning, difficulty in following the standards of Krishna conscious philosophy, boredom in Krishna conscious life, and lack of entu in attending the programs and classes, lack of interest in reading Prabhupada's books, and struggle to complete the rounds late night. These are practical examples of how a person is becoming weak in Krishna consciousness. You can see that. That's why in this verse, there are 2-3 words you are saying. Whatever I spoke is not only for this anapeksha. Even later on also Prabhupada talks about sarvaramba parityagi. Sarvaramba parityagi means a devotee does not take up any project or any activity that is simply material that will entangle him or her. So one has to be very careful before taking up anything. That I am taking up something, is it going to lead me to Krishna consciousness or is it going to entangle me? Many times it's very tricky, because sometimes you are at this point, from here you want to come here, from here to here, because if you come here, your Krishna conscious life will be more comfortable. Now you are here. So between from going to here, you may not reach here. Before that you may get lost. Like, you know, one devotee asked that he if he goes abroad, he can earn good amount of money and come back, and you know, and he can have a very cool business in future after 5 years. And if he doesn't go, then he has to have a business practically for another 20 years, 30 years, he has to struggle. Which one is better? So our answer is very simple. If you go abroad, be Krishna conscious. If you're not Krishna conscious, then it's dangerous. As long as you're Krishna conscious abroad, you can do that and come. So that is our answer. That's why he says sarva aramba parityagi means to take up something, like, say, for example, construction of a bungalow. Like one of our boys was telling that his father is in a remote village in one of the states of India. I don't want to mention the name. So his father wants to construct a 35 lakh rupees house there. And for this he told his engineering son that you have to go abroad and earn money and you have to give me. So this boy went abroad, and I told him, see, in a village, 35 lakh house means it's like a crorepati. Generally people make house in a few thousands, or even big houses will be 2 lakh there. It'll be 1 or 2 lakhs. If you are having a 2 lakh, 3 lakh house, you are an opulent man. To make a 35 lakh house in a village, is it necessary? But this boy said, no, you know, I am a dharmaparayan, I have to fulfill my father's desire. I'll go abroad and earn. And he also earned practically 30, 35 lakhs and gave him. Can you imagine? That is sarvarambha. Here Krishna is talking about such an endeavor. And his father is an old man now. He is like 60 or 65 or 70 now. Already is getting old, and he himself is supervising the project and struggling to construct a big bungalow. Now, not understanding, all his sons, daughters got married and they all went here and there. And who is going to live there? And in his old age, he can simply join Krishna Rama Govinda and go back to garden. Isn't it? In such a age, wasting his life. How much time is precious? This human life is awarded for a brief time, and it is taken away. So one has to know the value of human life. It is so valuable. You know, the human body is compared to a golden plow. If somebody gives you a gold plow along with a Kamadhenu bull, What will you do with that? Imagine if somebody takes a golden plough and a Kamadhenu bull and ploughs the field and is putting only bubble seeds. Is he an intelligent man? You know bubble seed? Bubble is a thorny tree. If somebody puts, what a fool he is. If you are intelligent, you calculate, when you are ploughing the field with a golden plough, the gold plough is going to get eroded. The amount of gold that you lose, the few grams of gold, that will be more costly than even the yield you may get by putting paddy there. Isn't it? It's really not worth it. Similarly, human body also is extremely valuable. And it is actually meant for a purpose. It's meant for civilization. One should not waste it foolishly. One should be very careful. That's why Sarvarma Parityagi, he says, what kind of work that you undertake, it's very relevant for all of us, because all of you have to do some job, or to do some work, some business, and it is necessary for your livelihood. So am I working for earning my livelihood, or am I working for comfort, luxuries, or am I working owing to some infatuation or hankering? We can see that in our lives. Because if you say that right now I'll work hard and earn and keep it for the future and all, then we don't know when will we die. Death is uncertain in this world. One may leave the body any time. So one should be able to give sufficient time to Krishna consciousness. Especially the rock bottom minimum should not be affected. Doing Mangalarti, doing chanting, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. For the students of IYF, I told them, every day they should read at least 30 minutes Bhaktivedanta purports, not any book, only Bhaktivedanta purports. Prabhupada's writing, we should at least, he is our founder Acharya. He is the preeminent Acharya of ISKCON society, and he has written over 80 books only for us, only for his followers. And if he can write so many books and we say we have no time to read, what a pathetic situation. So every day any devotee should be able to at least read 30 minutes. If you can't read 30 minutes, at least in a week we should be able to cover 3 to 4 hours of reading. It's very essential. Otherwise we will become blind to the philosophy. We will not know. Actually, it's a very subtle thing. It gradually happens. Fall down doesn't happen overnight. It's like a boat with a hole. It doesn't sink immediately. After some time you go to rest, you find you are underwater. You'll find that. But if you are regularly reading Prabhupada books, so reading Prabhupada books, chanting 16 rounds peacefully, which means our mental energy should not be taken away. Sometimes you are physically present, mentally absent, we say, isn't it? You are chanting Hare Krishna, but you are afraid of the boss in the company. That fellow is going to put a mobile for me now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. All the time in anxiety. Kaliga jivas are really, what is that? Prayena alpa ayusha sabya kalavasmin yugejana manda sumanda matiyo manda bhagya hi upadrita. Upadrita means always disturbed. You cannot peacefully chant. There are so many disturbances. Sometime ago they had pager, now they have mobile. It's even more easy. Catch a person. Company will provide you freely so that they can hook you whenever they want. So we can't live in anxiety 24 hours a day and peacefully expect to practice spiritual life. So if I am living in anxiety like that at the moment, eventually we have to sort out our life in such a way that gradually we are improving in such a way that we can give our mental energy also for Krishna. Man mana, he says, Krishna. Mava mad bhakta. Man mana means think of me with your mind. To think of Krishna with the mind, certainly our mind should not be preoccupied with too many things of this world. If I have a cluttered mind, which is filled with all kinds of material furniture, then how am I going to think of Krishna? We need a cool mind. Of course, the solution is not to give up everything and run away. That is also not possible for everyone. So, we have to plan out our life in such a way that we will be able to increase our absorption in Krishna consciousness. Every devotee should make an individual plan for life. What am I going to do today? What am I going to do this week? What am I going to do this month? What are my plans for my spiritual life this year? What am I planning for the next 5 years, next 10 years? One should plan like that. When we plan like that, then Krishna will also assist us. As he says, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Piyantite. I will give you Buddhi, by which you can come back to me. He says. That's why Prabhupada is condemning this. Sarvarambha parityagi. He says that one should not work hard or endeavor beyond one's limit. Sometimes in families you see, you know, brothers, they compare their individual status and prestige. And one brother is wealthy by dint of some good fortune, good karma or whatever. And another brother is not so rich. Then this family, they compare their family with that brother's family. And they work too hard. That is what is being spoken here. We compare ourselves with others and we burn ourselves. This actually comes due to inferiority complex. Just like it is said, once a cat, he saw a tiger and he thought the tiger is very beautiful. So he also wanted to become like tiger. He thought tiger is very powerful. So he went to the kitchen. He took the firewood and started putting strips around his body with the fire so that he can also look more like a tiger than instead of being a cat. And he tried to roar like the tiger. Is he not a fool? Isn't it? Cat can say meow meow and tiger will sound whatever way he wants to roar. So they will do their respective jobs. Why should they, you know, compare one another? When we compare with one another, then one gets into this mode of too much working hard. Atyahara prayasascha prajalponiyamagara. Rupa Goswami talks about that. So the prayas is opposite to this sarvarambha parityagi. Sarva parityagi means a Krishna conscious person does not work hard materially for material acquisitions, knowing well that it's not going to stay permanently with me. While living in the material world, as Jesus said, material world is a bridge. Don't construct a house at bridge, you have to cross the bridge. Bridge is meant for crossing, he said. So, a Krishna conscious devotee knows this. And Anapeksha also Prabhupada says similar thing about money. That one should not struggle to acquire it too much. If automatically means by destiny or by will of providence, by the grace of the Supreme, money comes to him, he is not agitated, he accepts it. And he knows, like now, Ford has a lot of money, so he is giving money to Krishna also, Ambarish Das, Ambarish Prabhu. Like that, depending on one's, whatever wealth one has, one is able to serve Krishna, one should serve. And in the name of making a peaceful situation in the world, one should not go off track from Krishna consciousness. That is the main point. All of you are in different kinds of jobs and businesses and situations that you only know. So you all, every one of us have to look into ourselves. Whether am I in the direction of becoming Krishna conscious or am I going off track? It's like a plane, 1 degree distraction, 1 degree deviation. The long run, what will happen? It will become thousands of miles deviation when it goes far off. So we have to always keep a watch. Am I Krishna conscious? Am I growing in my Krishna consciousness or am I stagnant? Am I doing all Krishna conscious limbs of Krishna, 64 principles of Krishna consciousness? Am I carefully following them, as many of them as possible? Am I associating with devotees nicely? Is Krishna consciousness sinking in my heart? Am I taking it seriously? So we can see those things. So two lives we have. We have our duties, constitutional duties and conditional duties. Always there is a problem of balance for devotees. Wherever you go in India, people will ask a question on this. Prabhu, how to balance this? Everyone has the same question. Even I have the same question also. That we have so much we want to give others and we also want to develop ourselves. So there is a tug of war between the two. Same way, devotees have a problem. How to balance material life and spiritual life? So it's an ongoing thing. One has to always observe it. Then he talks about shuchi. A devotee should be clean. When it is talking of shuchi, cleanliness, one should be clean in the mind, heart. One should be clean in intelligence. We can talk of cleanliness in body, cleanliness in dress. We can also talk of cleanliness in living place, our personal living place or the working place. We can also talk of cleanliness in personal dealings and business dealings. We can talk of cleanliness in all these respects. So talking about external cleanliness, there is a famous verse in the 16th chapter. Na shaucham, na pichacharo, na satyam teshu vidyate. Prabhupada used to quote this verse many times. Like, you know, one disciple brought water, putting his finger inside like this. You know, somebody asks you water, give me a glass, Prabhu, please take it. You are not supposed to put your finger inside water. Some people don't know. Papa used to say, Shudra, Shudra, I would say like that. Nashavacham, napi chacharo, because they don't know the etiquette. Like one time Prabhupada was teaching many cleanliness principles. So one of the devotees was climbing on the top of a typewriter. Prabhupada used to have a saffron typewriter. So Prabhupada scolded him, hey, get down, get down. Prabhupada said, this is Saraswati. We are typing spiritual literature in that. How can you get on the top of that? So that devotee was arguing, Prabhupada, we climb on the top of chapels also. Prabhupada said, you will never understand. Said, you can climb on the top of a chapel, but not on the top of a paper or a typewriter. So people don't know cleanliness. So that is why Krishna talks about it in the 16th chapter. Like external cleanliness sometimes appears to be first class in companies. You go to some companies, you find, you wonder, can I walk with shoes inside? It is looking like so spick and span. You know, they put a marble floor and everything. So it looks that they are very clean. But actually they are not clean. Many of them eat crabs. Many of them eat the kidneys of animals. They eat all kinds of horrible, foul-smelling substances. People eat all kinds of things. Those people who apparently claim to be externally clean. What goes inside you can see. And not only that, even many of, especially in the West, people never wash. They simply use tissue paper to clean their back. And it's not a sign of cleanliness. Although externally it looks there very, very clean. If you analyze little deeply, modern man is not clean. They have once in a fortnight bath. In Germany, you must be knowing, isn't it, Prabhu? You went to Germany? Isn't it? Yeah. They bath once a week or once in 2 weeks. They bath, many places. So, external cleanliness is also important. Prabhupada says one should bathe at least twice a day. Or one passes tool, then one should take bath. So there are principles that are to be followed. But why do we want to be clean? We want to be clean for Krishna's sake. For Krishna. So when we take bath, not only we clean the body, the water has an effect on the subtle body also. The water element has an effect on the subtle body also. When you take bath, you feel mind also becomes fresh. You will see that. So when one, and also what happens, the nature of uncleanliness is such that it increases the tamoguna. Live in a room which is cluttered with clothes and papers and books and all hanging here and there, dirty things. Then your mind, it is a cluttered mind in a cluttered room. You will see that. And mind also becomes, it goes tamaguna. In tamaguna you do wrong things. You do bad things. And one goes tamaguna. Then everything, you think everything is alright. And one goes tamaguna. If you want to be in sattaguna, then we keep the environment clean and we keep our body also clean. And in external cleanliness, one example comes to my mind of Raghava Pandit. Raghava Pandit, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he once told his servant to bring coconuts. So servant was standing at the doorstep for quite some time. And Raghava Pandit was a little busy with doing some cooking. And then he turned to the servant, because servant was holding the coconut for a long time. In between, it was pain, hand was paining, so he touched the ceiling like this, and then again he caught the coconut with his hand. And Raghava Pandit saw that and he went to the servant and said, you see, you are standing on the pathway and so many people walk in and walk out in this room. And when they walk like that, the dust cloud rises and it touches the ceiling. And now you touch the ceiling and you touch the coconut. So it has become contaminated. And it is unofferable to Krishna. Take it back. And again you get fresh coconuts, he said. And that fellow had to go several miles to get new coconuts again. So Prabhupada quotes his example and he also tells what Bhaktisiddhanta and Saraswati says. He says, not that Raghava Pandit had some cleaning phobia. You know, cleanliness phobia, some people have cleanliness phobia. They are allergic to unclean things. You know that some people, they always put gloves and, what do you call that? Medically, some name is also there for them. No, there is a cleanliness phobia which people have. Mania? He's calling, it's not phobia, it's not fear, it is a mania, he's saying. Anybody knows what mania it is? Anyway, some mania, friendless mania. So when one has that, they are too allergic, you know, dust is there, they cannot tolerate it, huh? Like that. So it's not that Raghava Pandit had some cleanliness mania, but he was a high class devotee of the Supreme Lord, and he wanted to offer the best to Krishna. Huh? That is why he was very strict about cleanliness. Huh? Of course, as neophyte devotees, we may be trying to follow the example of Raghava Pandit, but at the same time, we also have to develop internal cleanliness. Huh? It's not just only external. Internal cleanliness is achieved actually by chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, when one chants the holy name or renders seva, then the heart is also cleansed. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavagna nirvapanam. So, chanting actually cleanses the heart. It is done little by little by little by little. Over the years, one can see that all one's impurities are released, coming out. And performing service also cleanses the heart. And Lord Chaitanya himself exemplified it by cleaning the Gundicha Mandir, by cleansing the Gundicha Mandir. Personally, he got on his hands and knees and started cleaning and throwing water. And he checked how much dust the devotees accumulated. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati correlates between the external and internal cleanliness. When one renders seva very sincerely to Krishna, then one's heart also becomes cleansed along with that. Yeah. Also, there is unclean, there's a dirty heart, a dirty mind, it is said. The Bhagavatam uses that word, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. So the word abhadreshu is used. That means there is abhadra, inauspicious things in our heart. What are the inauspicious things? Those things that take us away from Krishna are all inauspicious things. And especially the material desires, they are called as the most inauspicious things. Because the nature of material desire is that, see, the material desires themselves are not condemned. But if you hold on to material desires, it's like holding a brick. You take a brick or luggage also sometimes, you know. It's very easy to, you know, pick up a luggage in the beginning. But then you keep holding it for some time, what happens? The weight increases. You will see that becomes difficult. That's the nature of material disease also. If you keep the material disease in the heart for a long time secretly, over a period of time they'll become a big burden. They'll pose as a big burden in devotion service. So one has to eradicate the material disease. So that's called as a dirty heart. Our core of our heart is considered dirty if we continue the kama, krodha, the lobha, all these things to flourish there. One should not. There's a verse in 16th chapter. Grihitva, what is it? Asad grahat, he says, Krishna says. Grihitva api asad grahat, which means there are people who hold on, cling to bodily enjoyments, and people who hold on to material desires. It's called as grihitva, grasping to them, clinging on to them or holding on to them. So they are the dirty things in the heart. So those dirty things have to be cleansed also. And there is a clean, there is unclean intelligence also, which Krishna talks about. In Bhagavatam we see, Avishuddha Buddhayah, he says, isn't it? What is that verse? Ye anye aramindaksha vimuktamaninaha tvayastha bhavat avishuddha buddhayah, he says. Avishuddha Buddhi means those people who do not take shelter of Krishna's two lotus feet, but those who resort to speculation to know the truth, those who are impersonless, such people are called as Avishuddha Buddhaya. Sometimes Krishna calls them Abuddhaya. Abuddha means no intelligence, isn't it? What is that verse? Avyaktam Vyaktim Apannam Manyante Mam Abuddhaya. In Bhagavad Gita he calls Abuddhaya, in Bhagavatam little concessions given to them. He's calling them as Abhishuddha Buddhaya. In Bhagavad Gita he says, Brahma is saying Abhishuddha Buddhaya. Here Krishna is saying, those who think I was impersonal before, now I have become a personal God like a human being, they are Abuddhaya. They have no intelligence, he says. But in Bhagavatam, Brahma says, Abhishuddha Buddhaya, means those who don't take shelter of Krishna's feet, but resort to mental speculation or impersonal speculation for many, many long years, they are people with impure intelligence, he says. It's impure intelligence because they misinterpret God. That is why it is avishuddha buddhi. They think they know God, although they know nothing about God. Like, you know, Krishna is such a God that if somebody says, you know, I don't have faith in Krishna, I don't have belief in Krishna, I don't think a personal God exists, ultimately truth is impersonal, then Krishna only shows impersonal Brahman to them. He doesn't show his face. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavratah mohitam na vijanati lokamam ajamavyam, he says. So he puts a curtain in between them and him. And he only shows the impersonal future to them. And they think, now I have seen the impersonal future, I know everything, they think. But they are avishuddha buddhi. Because of their impure intelligence, it's like a tainted glass. If I am wearing a blue tinted glass, blue tinted or brown tinted, everything I will see accordingly. And I will be arguing with you. No, everything is brown. Everything is blue. It's my problem, not the problem with the things. Similarly, they cannot perceive. That's why it's called avishuddha buddhi. So, when we talk of shuchi, all these things have to be cleansed. The mind, the heart, the intelligence, the external body, the workplace, the place of worship should be very clean. Prabhupada said the temple should be so clean. That's why we had a meeting on cleanliness recently. We are talking how to make our temple more clean. Because if a temple is not clean, nobody will be attracted to come. And if we make the temple clean, Prabhupada says the cleanliness should be such that there should be a burning cleanliness, he says. It should be revolutionarily clean, he says. Like in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, if you see, they keep cleaning all the time. You see that? They put water and they keep cleaning again and again. By the time you complete cleaning, then you have to go back to the beginning place. They clean. They don't. So, we have made that flooring, which will be now polished very soon. After that, we hope it's going to be very clean. Because of Janmashtami, we didn't polish it. So, because people are putting chapals and everything in the front of the deities, so we made the big flooring now. So once that is polished, it will look very attractive. So inside and outside, everything, the place should be so clean. People should know this is spiritual world. When they come close to take darshan of the deities, that should really create a sense of great spiritual feeling when they come. That's why we say cleanliness is next to godliness, we say. It is just next to godliness. So we have discussed two. So others we will discuss next week. We will stop here. Half of the verse we will discuss. Thank you very much.